So if we could just start by you saying your name and the
I'm Antonia Cipollina. Today's date is October 8th,
yes,
2013.
And we are here in your lovely home, is that correct?
Yes, and this is my home, yes, a family home.
Great. And thank you so much again. If you could just tell us some of your stories of being in Mill Valley. Like, what were your first impressions?
Well,
or when did you move here?
My parents moved here in 1949.
Okay, wow.
And then my father proceeded to enlarge the little summer cottage that it was. Like a lot of homes in Mill Valley were usually just summer cottages from people who lived in the city. They'd have a little place. So this was actually just a tiny portion of this. And so my father, who really wasn't a builder, learned the skill to be able to build. He'd go around to other homes being built through, since he was in real estate, people who he knew that worked on homes. And so he basically learned how to construct. And this is a sound place, considering we're on stilts.
You're on stilts, yeah. Yes.
So my first memories are of in childhood, and not my mother teaching piano. My mother also was a pianist, concert pianist.
Wow.
And so my father sang, not professionally, like my mom. So I would remember hearing mom accompany my father singing. And they would do, you know, like school functions. Mom and dad would, even though mom didn't like to perform, either do I. I think it's genetic because my brothers, both of them, are John was an avid performer. My brother Mario is a world-renowned performer. But I notice when I go to gigs, even now, of Mario's, you can tell he gets nervous. He kind of hides himself away. So, but he has the art given to him that once he's on the stage, he's fine. I never was comfortable on stage, and I've done various stage-type work between either classical, then some Italian music in the 80s with a man named Rudy Cipolla, who's a famous mandolinist, local.
But, wow.
So there, he had a group, and then I was actually in a rock band for a while in the 80s, but I've been teaching since I was 16, so.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. So you're going to have to probably ask me more specific questions.
So when you said that your mom and dad would come and sing.
Like PTA or things like that, or local, they'd kind of be the exciting moment at the end of a meeting at the rec center, wherever they were.
So was there a rec center that you regularly went to?
Oh, yeah, there's a poster of... the one that says dance in obvious handwriting next to the eagle.
Yes.
That was at the Mill Valley Rec Center. It was close to where the new one is.
Wow.
You don't remember the rec? Wait, did you?
It's been a while.
You do,
yeah.
The original rec center.
What was the original rec center like for you?
It was just we thought of it more of a dance place. We didn't do nobody did them. Have recreation for kids after school.
Right.
For the working parents who didn't get home till late. So it was used mainly for public social functions.
Wow.
And so that was, but now we're at the end of my, early adolescence when I would go to the rec center. And I bet you anything that was not built. You probably know more than I do about that. I don't think the original rec center I recall, it may have been in construction when I was growing up because John, who started playing music when he was about 15, 16, never played at the rec center in the 50s. He did play at the rec center there on that poster. But I was already in junior high, so there were the Odd Fellows Hall, which is still there, and then there was the one down at Brown's Hall, on Miller.
Yeah.
And then there was one up, and there was one other one in the Santa Venetia Armory. So all those places I went to, and then when I was about 12, 13 is when we would go to the dances at the rec center.
Right.
And that was really much different than the kids' rec center, you know, things. We could come and go as we please. It was kind of like a free, of course, kids are afraid to, parents are afraid to let their kids,
right,
you know, far from their sight, and so they can't. But we could go in, wander in there, or go outside and sit on the field, or kind of whatever. So it was always, I recall, always dark, which was what made it cool.
Yes.
And mainly set for, as I remember anyway, for music events. Now it's used constantly at
yes.
the rec center.
And what kind of bands would play there? Were you using music or records or bands or?
Well, in my, of course, my experience was strictly with my older brother.
Oh, okay.
And he was 9 years older than I, so he was, when he started playing in his original band from the 50s, like I said, I was already 12, 13. Then when he joined Quicksilver Messenger Service later.
What was his original band? Do you mind?
You know, the Swingin' Deacons.
Okay.
Yeah.
And were those local boys, or how did
they were all local.
Who was
almost neighborhood boys. Adam Foreman. I'm sure you've got Foreman in the, because their father was kind of influential. And Adam, Rob Moitoza, who became a well-known bassist with the Sons of Champlin, which was a local band in the 60s. And as you know, or may not know, Bill Champlin went on to be one of the main 30 years career with Chicago, the band
wow.
Chicago. So between, you see, being the girl and my
yes,
older sister
what
was
that
John's
like?
Twin. Well, Mario was a little younger than I, but because my father was Italian, born there, I didn't have as much freedom, like by any means, as my younger brother. So when I went anywhere other than the dances, my parents went.
Wow.
They went to every single one of the gigs that you see on the wall. Whenever John played in San Francisco, we would go. And my parents, there's a picture of my mom. You can see she was not a hippie. Mom was definitely liberal. I guess for the time you could have said bohemian, but she didn't look. She was very sophisticated looking and a loving, wonderful mother. And my dad, being from his background in Italy, he was always wore a suit and maybe not a tie to these gigs. So my parents stood out in a room full of, you know, 60 type people.
Right.
And so we got to go because my parents, we did everything with my parents. So my parents took us to the shows, which is why a lot of people my age never got to experience the 60s like I did, because their parents didn't let them go and they weren't interested to go.
Wow.
So it was an odd thing that Mario, if I was 12, Mario was 10.
Wow.
So he really got started early in the music business too. John was, of course, his mentor, as he was mine, even though I'm not a guitar player. And he got into rock and roll when he was, boy, Mario's been a professional since high school. He was with the band Stone Ground when he was in high school. My brother's John Copperhead in high school. So he started, he had to leave Tam High occasionally and go get the car that was waiting for him to go to the airport to go to shows when he was 15.
Wow.
And my thought, of course, the school system was a little looser then. He still managed to graduate. I know you passed Michelle on your way in.
Yes.
Okay.
Thank you.
But I don't know if he met
yes,
Stella.
We did.
Okay.
Oh, you did.
All
thank
right.
you.
So anyway, I know I'm kind of hopping around.
No, that's
why
right.
I kind of need. I'm going to.
What was it like in the high school at that time? Was there a lot of conservative kids and then hippie kids, and or what was
high
the
school?
Middle?
What high school?
Yeah,
well,
high school to go to?
Okay, I went to Old Mill School at first 6 years, and then Ed McGuire was then the middle school.
Oh.
And then things, socially for me, being that age, 13, 14, I was starting to be a little rebellious, which didn't fly with my parents. So I had to go to Marin Catholic for high school.
Okay.
Most, three years.
How old are you? I went to Marin Catholic.
I'm 60. What? When did you go?
I graduated at 74.
Oh, I graduated at 70. So
you were a year ahead of my brother and sister. I'm sorry.
That's okay. Yeah.
I forgot where I was.
So just, I'm sorry, yeah. you were sent to Marin Catholic.
Oh, yeah. Those were horrible times. I hated that school. When Mario got put there also, when he was a freshman, he barely got in with his grades, and then he got thrown out, and I begged my parents to let me go to TAM when Mario did, so I finished at TAM.
How many school years behind you was Mario?
Two.
So was Marin Catholic much more conservative than rules? And
segregated uniforms. I mean, completely opposite than I was used to. And, you know, taught usually by nuns. I have nothing against nuns. But it was just so uncool for somebody who was in my situation. You know, I would be going to gigs and then having, you know, on weekends and having kind of a life and then going to Marin Catholic was just...
How many years? Wait, I'm sorry.
3 years I was there.
Oh, you were there for 3 years?
Yeah, because Mario's 2 years younger. So by the time he was a freshman and got thrown out, I was going to be a senior. And so my parents relented. But the other thing about Mill Valley was there was kind of a racial problem still here.
How so?
Which my kids, thank goodness, I call my kids, my students, my kids... There was animosity between blacks and whites. And there would be race riots at TAM.
What did a riot look like?
I saw boys throwing garbage cans at each other, fist fights. Girls would get in fights, hair pulling and earring ripping. And so I was kind of happy I wasn't there for that. But I had no high school experience like kids, you know, dream of having.
Right.
Because of the school was just, and I didn't know anybody because I didn't go to private school till I was ninth grade. So I met a couple of people though that became good friends, and but it was not a pleasant thing. I just...
Did you think if you had stayed at TAM you would have had that dreamed of high school experience?
Well, no. The dreamed of experience that is now kind of going around again or all the traditional proms and football games. No, that wasn't cool.
Okay.
No way.
No proms.
Sports
no.
were, if you were into sports, you were like a total nerd.
Really?
Yeah. So you know,
so what
and,
was
and,
cool?
And Marin Catholic was like totally into all that.
Yeah, very
so
different.
I was completely not interested in rallies, bait football games. I didn't go to any of the dances.
No.
No. I was not interested. And the prom thing, it just wasn't cool then.
Right,
If you were or thought you were cool, that was just for the really straight kids. The wannabe kids, you know. But now it's a big thing.
Right. And what kind of, like, what were people wearing in high school? What were people...
kind of what I'm wearing. Well, in my high school, they were wearing a plaid, horrible plaid skirt and a white blouse, and it had to be that particular white blouse, and it had to be that particular jacket. And if you didn't wear the sweater that they wanted, they would make you take it off and go the rest of the day without your sweater, no matter what the weather. There was just stupid rules.
Ugh.
And those awful white Oxford shoes, oh God, which my mom would white every day with that liquid white stuff. I was the only kid with clean, I hated it. I'd go scuff them up before I went to school because I hated that look.
And what would, like on Friday night,
would be at the shows.
You would be at the shows.
Yeah.
So you would be outside of Mill Valley in the city.
In the city.
Yeah, and what would be going on in Mill Valley? Do you have any idea?
Oh, the movie theater.
The Sequoia.
Yes.
So it was still cool to go there on the weekends.
Oh, yeah, that's all the kids did. We would walk down for the matinees every Saturday. And, of course, living up here, we played on the hills, in the hills up in the, you know, made forts and slid down the hills and had that kind of fun.
And was it a neighborhood, or who were the kids that you were playing with that were up on the hill?
Usually, there was only one family for me on one side that had a girl my age, and then on the other side, on Eldridge, there was Mario's friend.
Who was that?
That was Harry Kemp.
And who was the other family with the girl?
That was the Jameses. They, I'm surprised, aren't in there. They lived here. Just they had to move only a couple of years ago, and they must have been in their 80s. Even though Dad, until his wife suffered from Alzheimer's, and he had to put her, they had to move and be someplace for her, and so they moved to Washington where their kids live.
Right,
and she's in a, I guess, a facility, probably a nice one.
Are there, when you were growing up, were there lots of mixes of ages and older people, younger people, kids? Was everybody mostly, their dads went to work, the mom stayed home? What did it look like?
Yeah, I was lucky because my father's office was downtown Mill Valley Realty.
Oh.
And he could make his own hours. So I would see a lot of my father. He would be the one to pick us up from school if necessary, take us to school. Yeah, I had a lot of dual parenting.
What, that was usual or unusual?
No, unusual. You know how dads were back then? They weren't. My father was Italian, so he was very warm and a part of the family. But a lot of fathers were kind of that stern guy that didn't ever, would be sitting in a chair in the living room and didn't really converse with the kids.
Yeah.
That's what I recall. But
Was he born in Italy?
Yeah.
What part?
In Genoa.
Oh.
And he came over here?
He came here, and after, well, he was a liberal, and at the time, Mussolini was in power, so that my father basically left Italy to get away from the regime and came here.
Came to Mill Valley?
He came to Redwood City.
Wow.
And that's where my mom met him. She was looking for a home, and he was at a place, he was working in Redwood City, and they got married. And bought this place.
Was she Italian?
She was Portuguese. Her father was born in Portugal. Portuguese and Irish. My grandmother was the color hair? Chestnut.
Oh.
So if I'd had children, I could have had a redhead.
Wow. And were there? Did you walk by your dad's office and stop in? What was that?
Oh yeah, everybody did. My dad was so friendly. People still come up to me and say we still miss seeing your dad downtown because it was 171.
Okay.
So
he spiked down.
Yeah, it still looks the same. Under the, it's a little brick place. It was a realty for a long time. There's a hair salon next to it now, and it may be a salon. Isn't everything a salon in Mill Valley now?
He passed it on to Rocky Von Welchek, right?
Oh, yeah, he had him.
Did he work with Rocky?
He did. It was not pleasant.
What were the politics like in town?
Politics?
Yeah. I mean, I'm assuming you're referring, or what were you referring to that was unpleasant?
Oh, I don't want to go into it.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. Oh, okay. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, so next to your dad, there was there a salon then, or what?
There was one of the old typical, bubble hair. Do you remember the term bubble hair?
Oh yeah.
Like your Barbie doll had the bubble hair.
Yeah. Yeah.
And so it was an old fashioned kind of older ladies. You wouldn't go there if you were. I never did go to it, so I was never that kind of girl, salon girl. But now the kids, and when they're 10 years old, they go to nails and, hair done and eyelashes dyed, and, it's just amazing. But
yeah,
I'm
right.
Showing my age when I talk like this. I have seen Mill Valley transform from something that was so pleasant and loving. I used to ride my horse downtown with a girlfriend, bareback, sometimes with just a halter, and we would just park them at meters. That tells you 3, 4, 5 girls would have horses, and we put them in a meter. That tells you how parking was.
Where'd you keep your horse?
Yeah.
Well, various places at the Brewster's across the canyon for a while.
Where was it?
There on Ralston.
Oh, where on Ralston?
The very end. It's a. I've always wondered what happened to that.
The Ralston West Blythedale end.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. It was off Ralston, though. It was a little lane that they lived. I guess maybe it was Ralston.
Was it a place where there were more than one horse was kept there, and they had lessons?
They had two.
Oh, they had
no,
two.
No, this was all private. There, and then when I got my horse, they allowed her to stay there.
Were there other animals, like chickens or
no, you know, we had a couple of chickens. Always a lot of companion animals in the home, including an owl, which my brother and I found on the hill, a screech owl, when it was a baby. And we didn't even know what it was, and we called Wild Care, which was then called something else. It had come to me if I thought about it long enough. And they said, sounds like you have a screech owl. You know, you should bring it in because it'll never survive out there. It was so little. And we learned how to feed and take care of this screech owl. And my father built this huge cage, and he'd fly around. And John used to love him downstairs in his room because the owl would be his kind of partner. So, yeah, we kind of had some odd animals. But I was the only one into horses. You know, some girls just are horse crazy. I still am. I would love someday that I won't ever be able to, but because I'm so attached to this home. But I would love to have a little, you know, farmish kind of place in the country and have, you know, large animals too.
So where else did you keep your horses and the Brewsters?
Oh, the Tennessee Valley, which was horrible. It's just not well maintained. Creepy weather. It just wasn't very pleasant. A lot of kids had horses then. Lots. I mean, and
when you were a young teenager.
People kept their. I mean, I was. A lot of girls had horses then. There wasn't a lot for kids to do. Mario was always into electronics, and he met an older, like a quite a bit older, like elderly man who lived on Corte Madera Avenue, who worked with shortwave radios, and Mario would spend a lot of time there, and he had a little tote goat motor bike when he was about 11, and he and I would ride my horse, and he would ride the scooter, which wasn't really allowed on the fire roads up here, and
So that's kind of how you would get around. You would take your horse, he would take
the
scooter.
Well, that was for fun. Getting to school, we would walk. There was a bus.
Really? Yeah.
Well, there was a bus that came to the bottom of King Street.
Okay.
And then in middle school, my father would drive us. And high school, yeah, I took Greyhound.
Ooh,
to Marin Catholic. How'd you get there? To Marin Catholic. You get driven?
Well, my older brother and sister drove me when I was a freshman, and then
you were already
you know, just right. Kids.
How long did the bus take? Did it go directly, or did you have to take a lot of stops?
No. I think we stopped maybe once on Blythedale or twice, but it didn't. No, it was official.
Was it officially a school bus?
No,
or just went there.
It just dropped us off at the bus stop on Sir Francis Drake. We just crossed the street.
Would you get like a monthly pass, or how would you do?
I think Dad and Mom paid. Probably, I don't remember. No, I do actually remember the school bus. Of course, no, when we were little, but I do remember always having to put money in the thing if we got in every day.
Yeah, having exact change.
What could it have been?
Yeah, you obviously played piano from when you were a little kid.
I did. I started when I was about six.
Did your mom teach you?
Yeah. She was my teacher, which is pretty amazing.
You never had formal lessons or by anyone
else? She was the
formal
teacher.
Yeah. She was a concert pianist.
Yeah, and a teacher. Yeah. She gave up concertizing years before and was a teacher.
And you said at 16 you started teaching. What was that like?
I got a little fell in love with a little Fiat that was down at, which is now, it's so different there now, next to where Bungalow is.
Yes.
There was a car dealership.
Really?
A little car dealership, dealt with German cars mainly, but there happened to be this little Fiat that was my first purchase and first credit that I got. My father paid the down payment, which I think was $300 in those days. The car wasn't brand new. So I would drive my Fiat to people's houses when I first started teaching.
Oh,
and I had a little ad that I put in the Mill Valley Record. And then I would get clients from the newspaper. And then, of course, word, you know, bless you.
Thank you.
the word got out, and I use word of mouth now, of course. For years I have.
And how have students changed from that time when you started teaching at 16?
Well, I see mainly was in their home. Kids haven't really changed. Probably better behavior
now?
Is all I would... No.
Oh.
No way. They're not nearly as egocentric as a lot of kids, you know. They're so padded all the time. Padded and overly praised, I think, that they... I have to kind of sit on them and make them see the real world. You
right.
know, they do live in Mill Valley. All they've ever known is affluence.
Right.
And all their friends, all they've ever known is affluence. We were not affluent. I mean, my father built this house. He was a realtor. There wasn't big bucks or anything in this family. But he certainly, instead of playing the stock market, which he never did, he would have money if we, like my horse. That was between $20, and then I finally moved her to Marin Stables. That's probably the best place I ever had her. And then
where was Marin Stables?
It's still there in Fairfax.
Oh, wow. It's a long trek.
Well, yeah, but I was at Marin Catholic. So Dad would pick Mario and me up, and he would take me to the stable and drop me off and then go either see a house or whatever he had to do and then go all the way back. But it didn't take an hour to get to Fairfax then. It was Fairfax. It was like going into the country.
Wow.
Nevada was the country. Yeah.
And did you like have family dinners every
night?
Oh,
yeah,
at home?
Every night.
So
absolutely every night. My grandmother, my mom's mom lived here.
Were you born in this house?
I wasn't born in the house, but I was raised in the house. I was born at Santa Fe General.
Where would your...
No, go ahead.
Where was your family living when you were born?
Here.
Oh. Oh, okay. That's what I meant.
Oh, yeah. This is
live
where.
Your whole life.
However, the house was still the little house, a little tiny house, and the twins, mom's children from previous,
right.
were already 9 years old.
Wow.
Actually, I take that back. Pardon me. They were six. John was born with a horrible lung disease, which is why we lost him so young. So he had asthma from the time he was an infant. Mom was only, John and my sister were only, I didn't mean to not use her name.
Right.
Her name was Manuela, but she called herself Mike, and I thought it would confuse you if I said John and Mike, because she was very feminine. But mom, when she first bought the house, had not married my father yet. There was no driveway. Dad built this driveway. She would have to, and she didn't drive, so she'd have to take a cab with the kids wherever they went.
Wow.
And park at the or drop off at the bottom of Shady Lane. And she would walk up here with two kids, twins. And sometimes have to carry John.
And groceries and everything
else.
Sorry, how old were the twins again?
I was 9 when they were born.
Oh, so the
twins. I mean,
they were 9
They were 9 when I was born.
I mean, but your mom moved in here when they were how old?
John and Mike were about 6. So that's why my earliest memories, which have to be when I was 4. I don't think I remember much before 4. They moved in 49. I was born in 52.
And was it her mother that was here too? Mm-hmm. Or your okay? So did her mom move in?
She
by
didn't
the way?
Move in originally. It was when she became elderly that my parents moved her in. My father built a room for her. Actually, it was probably the first room he built on to the little house, the cottages. They were summer homes. And then he realized, wow, my family's getting bigger. I need a bigger house. And he always wanted to have a room that would house two pianos because Mom played with
two grand pianos,
yeah,
by the way.
Right.
Yeah.
So he kind of have to have room for that.
Yeah.
So he built this room. You can kind of see that this is the music section and the dining section and the living section. He liked to entertain. So this was kind of... He wanted to have a large enough room.
What did it look like when he would entertain?
Oh, there'd be my parents' friends. He was a great host. Mom was a good cook. She was social, but not as in social, tennis, ladies' club, not that kind of social, but just a very... Dad was more outgoing.
What were your parents' names?
Evelyn and Gina.
Evelyn and Gina.
That's kind of how I thought you found me is through my father because he was so well loved in Mill Valley. He would take a daily jaunt downtown and say hello to everybody, greet all the girls. All the girls loved him. He'd always have a couple of girls that would stop by and say hello to him.
How long ago did he die?
80. He died in 1980.
At what age?
77. Yeah.
And was it something he did or just who he was?
No,
that
it
people
was just
loved?
Who he was. He was just an outgoing, very much of a gentleman, but, liberal. But a gentleman, I guess people would say he, what's a word that I hear all the time still? The women in real estate he worked with are still in real estate. If you know
who?
Carrie Sheriff.
I know
and,
Carrie.
And if, yeah. And Margarita Flythoff? Yeah.
Did he talk much about what it was like with, you would have homes like your home, which was one of the original summer colleges, and then there must have been other kinds of homes. What were the other kinds of?
There weren't other kinds of homes.
It was all summer cottage type
homes. West Blythedale, because the train used to come up Blythedale, there were all the same amount, maybe not quite as many, but certainly they were, when you drive down Blythedale, you can tell which ones are original. They may be all freshly windowed and painted, but you can tell which ones are built a long time ago.
How can you tell?
By the style of home, by
which
the size of the home.
Would be small and wooden?
Two to three bedrooms, but reasonably, just not like the track homes, obviously.
Right,
those
right.
Down off of Blythedale.
Right.
That was kind of like the low-end part and Tam Valley in those days. It's funny. That was kind of like the ghetto. Not that we ever use that word, but that's how kids would, and some still think of Tam Valley as being, wow, that place over there. But it was so far away for us.
Right,
right. So.
But there must have been some big houses that started moving in. And what was that like for your dad?
They weren't big houses.
No.
There were young couples that needed a home. That had moved here because it was so cheap.
Really?
Compared to the city. I mean,
this is the 50s or?
This is 50s, 60s.
Right, okay.
They were like, it was a place of opportunity for people who, a lot of artists, a lot of musicians, a lot of, that type of people who couldn't afford high rent.
Oh.
So they moved to Mill Valley. When I went to Marin Catholic, kids thought I was like the kid from the ghetto because I lived in Mill Valley. That's one reason I didn't have very many friends. They kind of scoffed me because who lives in Mill Valley? That's a hick town. They all lived in Ross and Kentfield and, that whole scene.
Well, how, you know, the cereal and Sarah McFadden and the whole Mill Valley with the peacock feathers and the hot tubs, how did that transition
that
happen
happened
through
in the
your
60s?
Eyes?
Oh, it, that happened from money, people moving in and being trendy and wanting to, and being able to afford to put stained glass everywhere and modern, make their, take the paint off the walls and, or paint the walls that were wood. That's one thing that's different about this house is that Dad never wanted to obviously paint.
So were most of the houses when you were growing up, they were the darker wood inside? And
yes. And there was dry, what do you call it? Dry walls? Or stucco or, paint or a lot of wallpaper. You must know the Jessup family. Yeah. Lindley was one of my best friends.
So what would you do that you really have fond memories of with
her? Friends? It was usually at one house or the other.
Yeah, yeah.
And we would either, draw. She was an artist. I was horrible, but we would sit and draw horses for hours or,
Yeah.
Or play with our Barbies, which I took kind of not so seriously, but they liked it. And I, of course, got into a little bit. But there wasn't all this, House of Air and, maybe if you were lucky once a year. My family just wasn't. My parents weren't into those kind of family places like bowling alleys and, we would go to the movies, but we did everything together. And my father, being in that business, often worked weekends. So it would be Dad going to work 7 days a week. Maybe it wasn't solid 8 hours every day, but it was sometimes 12 hours. The real estate business, you never know when somebody's going to call and go, I think I've changed my mind. But, one reason people loved my father is because he was so fair. And it's funny because you use the word realtor and most people go, oh, God, they're all, sharks. But my father was the type of man who, if he saw a couple that was interested in a home that they couldn't afford, he would really dissuade them and say, you're just going to get yourself in over your head. Don't do it. And they still come up to me. Literally within the last month, came up to me and said, your father sold us the house that we still live in. My parents used to live in it, and we now do. Kind of like I live here instead. Wow. Yeah.
Who was that? Is that somebody you feel comfortable saying?
I know I could think of it. It wasn't anybody I remember, no.
Okay.
What was it like when the rock band and music and your brothers started really getting into that? Was that part of Mill Valley, or was that all San Francisco? What was that like?
It was definitely San Francisco mainly because, John was fortunate enough to gain enough notoriety reasonably quickly with that band that he did play the Fillmore and the Avalon
Winterland.
Wait,
that was Soundhole?
No, that was Mario.
Quicksilver. That was Quicksilver.
Yeah, Quicksilver.
Right.
But I'm glad you know who Soundhole is.
Yes,
you don't
yes,
remember
yes.
them, do you?
They played at one of our... don't want to take it to tape. They were supposed to play at Marin Catholic, and then they had that tragedy, and they canceled out.
Oh, the shallot.
Yeah, yeah. I don't know if you want to talk about that. Probably not.
I don't mind.
Okay, why don't you go into it?
Pardon me?
Then go into
what,
it.
I don't know what happened.
Oh, Mario's guitar player, Dan Shalick, lived at Summit and one
Summit
of those.
Summit McGee.
Yeah. And there was another family that lived down in Alto, they used to call it. Do they still call that Alto? Behind Ed McGuire?
Yeah. What family was that?
The Badan family. There were two Badan brothers. One was a friend of the band, Mario's band. And the older brother was kind of a quirky, he was a couple of years older and seemed like he had some kind of jealousy about his brother's being, or his brother. His brother wasn't a musician like mine was. It wasn't a professional band. Mario, as I said, was doing it at a young age. And he got a schizophrenia. He was schizophrenic and ended up thinking that Dan Shalek was the devil and should be expired. And he, in the middle of the night, went to the Shalek home, lined up the parents and Dan, took them outside blindfolded, and shot them point blank, then set their house on fire and killed their cat and went home.
You didn't think you'd get this in this interview, Whoa. Did you?
Oh, that's a Mill Valley story. I haven't thought of it in a while. I mean, it's...
What was that like for the town and at school the next day?
Well,
everything.
The hard thing is, if you don't mind me interjecting, how do you say his last name? The
Badan.
He was the lifeguard at the Mill Valley Tennis Club.
Right.
So all the kids knew him from the tennis club. So that added another angle. And then this is I don't want to speak.
No, no, that's right.
Yeah, so
he was
everybody
a straight
knew.
Kind of kid who did that, the water thing, sport thing. And we didn't, none of the musicians were into sports or that kind of stuff.
Lifeguarding at the tennis club.
Yeah.
Wow.
Certainly we weren't club members of anything. So... At 3 in the morning, we got a phone call. And we're told, Mario, I think today is still suffering from that whole thing because the boys all had to go there.
Oh, no.
They didn't have to see the scene, the actual death scene, but they had to see the house that was
Why?
Burned.
Why did they have
to
go?
They questioned everybody. They didn't know who did it.
Oh, that's right.
Every car coming in and out of Mill Valley that late or early morning, including my brother John, who was coming home from a gig, they stopped everybody in town. It was like the big thing right at the exit there, and they were all asked questions.
Well, of course, you would think the band members, they would be logical.
That's right.
Just because they're
so all the boys had to be, questioned and identified and everything else. And did Brent finally admit it? Is that how they found out? Or,
I don't remember. All I know is within a day or two,
they had him. Yeah. I think he did confess.
Did Soundhole ever perform again after that?
Yes, they did. They replaced Dan with a friend who's now deceased for another reason, with Brian Marnell.
Who else was in Soundhole?
Bill Gibson, who's still with Huey. John Ferrey, who was my 12-year-long relationship, boyfriend-girlfriend relationship, still very dear to the family. Kevin Hogan.
Or was it Brian?
I guess, I don't know. It was one of them. I don't know.
So many musicians, it seems like, in that were part of your life coming in. And in Mill Valley, did it feel like this was a real creative?
Oh, yeah. Hotbed? Oh, yes. Because besides music, there are a lot of artists.
What kind of
and
artists?
And ceramic, the family on King Street. The father was a potter. I should know this. That's funny because I see them every day. They still walk downtown and back every day. There were the fathers who went to the city, and then there were the families with the parent. Well, I guess that's not really fair to say. I was surrounded as a teenager with young people that weren't parents yet.
Right.
But they were married or living together or something kind of before living together was when it was still taboo to be living together.
Right. And were they neighbors or how? When you say you're surrounded, what do you mean?
Yeah, no, just there were neighbors. One, the drummer from Quicksilver lived on Eldridge. You know, this interview is like, it's going to be, we're not going to have time. I feel like I'm talking about stuff that is so, I mean, it's interesting for me to think about, but I don't know how good it is as an interview.
Oh, it just came in.
I'm not answering. It's hard. When you ask me a question, I can visualize
That's
you
what
know,
I,
Mill
that's
Valley,
what
but
so
I'm not getting it.
With.
You know, not getting it. And Mario's not here, and he's so good at interviewing.
You're great.
Was Huey Lewis? I know. Was Huey Lewis? Yeah. How was he associated with Soundhole? Was it?
He was in the rival band Clover.
Oh, that's right. He was in Clover.
Yeah.
Oh, what do you mean by the rival
band? Well,
one had
a gig one night, and if they had a gig that night, and the other band had a gig in another place the same night, you knew which people were going to go see Soundhole and which were going to go see Clover.
How did you know? What was?
Because certain kids just were by age, or because Huey was a little older.
Right.
Mario and his friends were Mario's age, which was young.
And what was it about Mario's sound that really drove?
Mario
created,
or John?
But Mario or John, tell me.
They both are known for their tone, but John was the innovator
right.
as far as electric guitar.
Yeah, yeah.
And electronically, because he created that amplifier stack that he was known for. That's at the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame now.
Right.
But that's how that's what he took to every gig. I mean, that is like an outrageous.
Is that a photo or an oil painting?
It's a photo.
Wow, that's amazing.
That is a photograph, and that is no lie. If you see, that is 12 feet high. That with the horns.
Really? Now he didn't ever have that at home, did he? Where did he keep it?
Yeah,
he had it here.
Yeah, well, he didn't live here then, but he had it here for a time when he was either storing it. He took it on the road with him. I mean, that's one thing. He had a very piercing treble tone, and he used the whammy bar on the guitar, which most people didn't like to use, which is a device that bends the strings and makes it kind of sound like a wah, 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 wah.
Right.
Wah. But most guys didn't like it because it made the guitar immediately stretching the strings go out of tune, so you just constantly have to keep tuning. And John was able to do both. Yes, he was known for being out of tune at times, but his style was so unique. And a lot of it was his own actual way he played the instrument. And a lot of it was his tone.
And I mean, I think, is it Rolling Stone puts him in the top 100 guitarists ever? What was it like having a famous...
Well, the thing. The first time I ever saw him, I still talk about, I can still picture, because it was, we're going to see John tonight, Sheesh is my nickname, and Mario, and it would be like, what? We're going to see John play? Okay, cool. And we went into the Avalon, was the first time I'd been to one of those music halls, and it was dark, and strobe lights, and fluorescent lights, and lots of hippies, remember there was a lot of LSD then, a lot of, obviously, high young
Hi,
people.
What were they doing? Falling? Were they just like talking in a slow way? What was it?
Were busy.
What did you see that you knew they were high?
They'd be anything from, walking by them and them like pointing at you like this, or sitting on the ground painting with, fluorescent paint on the actual floor of the place.
Right, okay. And you're how old right now?
60.
60,
yeah,
okay.
So I was 12, 13.
No, I mean when you saw them painting on the floor.
Oh, no,
you were...
I was 12, 13 when they started.
12 or 13,
yeah.
Wow. So this is young in this world.
And he was 22. He was 10 years older than you.
Right.
Yeah.
So I may have been 14.
Okay, so somebody.
He wasn't a youngster, really. John was, he lived at home until he was 19. He was kind of that oddball kind of artist kid who liked to draw and create and very bright, but not a great student, just think like it usually is.
Who taught him guitar?
He went to
Was it here in Mill Valley?
Yes, and I should know this. I know his daughter really well. But now I'm only thinking of her last. That's horrible. Because
that's okay. We'll come back to it.
That was a big... I mean, he started John.
Yeah.
And then he started branching out. And Dad wanted him to stick with kind of a more traditional style of playing. And Mom's the one who was always the one who said, that's not his thing. You got to let him do what he wants to do. And he would sit in his room for days of practice.
And what would you hear? Would you
hear? I wouldn't hear.
You couldn't hear what
he
was
practicing? No, because he would play his electric guitar without the amplifier down in his room.
Yeah. Yeah.
And by his room, I mean on another level, underneath that other room. He was quiet. He was a very quiet person. If I went in there, I could hear him doodling around. But he wasn't a big part of the upstairs world. I mean, we were little kids.
Yeah, well, like, one thing I think I read where Mario still likes classical music.
Oh, yeah, we do. We all do.
So was it mostly classical music that would be in the house, or what?
Well, with my mom, yes. And my father, yes. But John changed that pretty abruptly.
Yeah, so what was
Mario, too.
The stereo would be playing songs?
Well, we started out with the carry-around record players. I mean, no, there weren't stereo. I remember when stereo came out.
So you mean like those little suitcases that play the 45s?
Yeah, I still have mine.
What color is it? What color?
Beige.
Beige, okay,
yeah.
All right.
Mine was beige. Ours was beige. You put tape a nickel or a quarter on it so the needle would hop around.
Oh, really?
God.
No,
how old are you?
I'm
22.
No, I. Thank you.
I'm
56.
Come on.
Are
you really?
I'm 56.
Oh my God!
But like, tell me, like, when you went to your friend's house, was there classical music playing there? Were they playing rock? Were they playing on there?
Nobody was like this house.
Nobody was like this.
Oh, no way.
Tell me about that. The differences between.
Well, I don't even know how to put it in words and.
Well, just give me a picture.
A picture. I can't. I wish.
Was
you could
it quiet
see
and restrained
picture.
There?
Yeah,
and
it
here
was
there
quiet
were smells of smells
we
of food and music.
Room. Here it was food and music. Yeah, of some form or another.
What was that pool?
That was our swimming pool, Dad built. Yeah,
wow.
He built. He started. I mean, swimming pool. That was as much ground as Dad. You know, could enough rock in there. That he could put something with that much weight of water. He couldn't dig down because it was solid rock. Well, we did. Dad, it was mainly Dad's little relaxing thing. Their paint pools are a pain in the butt, especially when you're up against a wall on one side. No matter how you tried to cover it, all stuff would always come down. And it being in the trees, it was, unless he cranked, he bought an old potbelly, literally a gas potbelly stove that heated it. And if he was, Dad was not one to be extravagant with energy. Just he was European. They weren't that way. So it wasn't like we had an 80-degree pool all the time.
Right.
And when Mario got old enough, he figured out how to crank that little potbelly stove up and get some heat going. But Dad would not keep it warm all the time.
Yeah.
So it either had to be an unusually warm day.
Here.
Yeah, because the sun only hits then even less. I mean, now even less than then.
Right.
Maybe for 40 minutes at a time before it moves somewhere else. But we used it a lot. But.
One thing I was wondering about, too, is like, did you ever go out to dinner in downtown Mill Valley?
Sure.
So when you did, where'd you go? And what was that like?
Well, Mom ended up, you know, it's funny. I said she was a great cook, and she was. But she didn't really like to entertain us. It's not like we had people here all the time for dinners. We did that a lot, you know, for birthdays and things like that. But there were always people here because this family, either kids liked to come and just talk to Mom or they wanted to come and snoop around because John, you know, was John's cronies, so to speak,
right.
were here a lot. Half the band lived here when the band was starting to get going. They came from Merced. They didn't have a place to live. Dad found them rentals all around here that were cheap, like $320 a month.
Wow.
Who all is in the Quicksilver?
Greg Elmore, Gary Duncan, David Freiberg, and John. And then a couple of years later, it was kind of the downfall when Dino Valenti got out of jail and joined the band. It wasn't that John and Greg wanted him to, but Gary Duncan, who was kind of a tough guy, said, well, if you don't let him join, then I'm going to quit.
And why was that a downfall?
Well, because he was a little Italian pistol with a... Grew up in the circus, literally. He was traveled with circus. He's an aerialist. So he had a really hard, tough guy demeanor. And it didn't blend with, certainly with John, with my lifestyle, which was pretty much, I mean, peace and love. I mean, not mom, I was not a hippie, but I'm just using that term. She was just such a mothering person that people felt comfortable being here. So, and my father, being Italian, didn't want me to go anywhere, at least as a teenager now. So all my friends were able to come here, but I couldn't like go on dates or go hang out. Like,
could your brothers do that? Your brothers?
Well, they had kind of an out being in the music business. They had gigs to do, rehearsals to do. I was a concert player, so I would have to practice at home.
And did you play in concerts?
I did.
And where?
At the Outdoor Art Club. I didn't do concertizing, but I did recitals.
So what was that like at the Outdoor Art Club?
It looks the same.
Really?
It does. It's so great. Yeah. It's
and
one
who
of my last
come?
Few places left.
Really?
In Mill Valley. It's
one
still,
of the last.
Yeah, it's one of the last.
But you never played in a band?
Like I did,
your
in
brother's
the 80s.
Band. Oh,
no, not in my brother's band. No.
A rock band, though?
Yeah.
Who'd you play with?
I played with Darby Slick, who was the brother-in-law of Grace Slick.
Yeah, I was
going
to say.
Who wrote the famous, very extremely famous song. this has got to be, this is, everybody knows this song. And it comes to me, I'm not good at doing this. I really am not.
Though names and things are so hard for me. You're doing great.
I feel like...
Wait, Darby Slick was Grace Slick's... How is he related to...
Brother-in-law.
So that means he was...
He was married to... I mean, she was... He was a Slick. She was married
to
his
brother.
Brother.
Okay.
Right.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, what was his song?
So come Together.
Oh, yeah.
Come
yeah,
on,
yeah.
People now.
Oh, my gosh. Talk about a ballad
he
of the time.
He wrote that song.
Whoa.
And was poor until he realized, well, you know, he got money in the beginning. But then, that was before copyright licensing had come into be. And so when he finally got money, royalties, for the use of that song, because who was it? The Bo Brummel? Somebody made it a big AM hit. And
yeah,
they refused. They gave him a flat fee for the song, and he signed a contract, I think, and said, "Yeah, go ahead and use it." Well, nobody knew it was going to become like a universal theme song.
Yeah, for the time.
Yes.
So who were you in the band with? It was you and Darby. What was it called?
A Slick. It was actually called Slick. We spelled it S-L-I-K. Yeah.
And who else?
Nobody that you would know.
You traveled around with it?
No. We did San Francisco. Just local. I think the farthest we ever went was Santa Rosa to the Luther Burbank. But, I mean, Darby is an innovative songwriter, let's put it that way. But at that time, for instance, that song. We did that song, but he did it, and you may not understand what I mean by this, but he arranged it in 7/4 time, which is like not a regular time, tap your foot time signature
right.
of music. So it would throw off every listener who heard it because there was this weird extra beat in there. And then finally we all kind of ganged up on him. It was kind of like working with a Nazi, actually, Slick.
Really?
Darby was really, everything had to be his way. Nobody else's songs hit, I look back on it, I made some really good friends in the band. Still, I'm in touch with them all.
How old were
so
you when you were in that band?
I was
20.
Yeah, so I must have been, this was 85, I think
30-something, yeah.
And what, I realize we were at an hour, and I'm fine with time, but I want to be respectful of your
time.
I
have till about 3:15, pushing it.
Would you rather stop now, or do you have a few more minutes?
Well, I could go a little longer. I just feel like I'm totally blowing this.
You're not.
I'm not even saying anything. I don't know how you're going to, thank God you're taping this, because I don't know how, actually, now that I think of it, because how would you even talk about going around and back and forth?
Oh, but it's
whose
so
job
great.
Is it to
it's
transcribe
so,
it? Is that your job?
No, don't worry about it. Don't worry about it.
The library hires.
Somebody who does it for a profession. They know how to do it.
God, she's going to think I'm nuts.
No,
she's gonna
please.
Love hearing it. You
it's
think?
Such a,
yeah,
it's such,
absolutely.
It's like a whole tapestry of memory. It's beautiful.
Oh,
it's really
God.
Beautiful.
Yeah, bad and good. All of a sudden, I got a flash of of the funeral. I don't know why. I don't know why. I just had flashed on that.
What happened
with the boys carrying
the
caskets, three caskets.
Where was this in town?
Down at the rec center. That's where they did. No, I'm sorry. The Methodist Church. How could I say that? The Methodist Church.
That's the one by middle school right now.
Right.
Anyway, like I said, regarding the shallot thing, it twisted Mario to this day. You know,
how could it not?
Yeah.
How could it not?
Yeah.
What's Mario noted for? Guitar playing?
Bass.
Yeah. Well, we didn't really talk about the 80s, the 90s. What do you want to the 2000s? I mean, it's so much to.
Well, John died in 1989. That's kind of the end of my story. My mom lived not a long time after he passed away, and
How old was she when she died?
73.
Young.
Yeah, and she didn't smoke or drink or do any drugs. Never in her life. And she died young, but I think that's the bloodline of the woman's side of the family.
Can I ask you what she died of, or is that personal?
Breast cancer.
Oh,
I'm sorry.
Complications from metastasized. Yeah.
So was that when you started being the only person in the house?
No, John lived here when Mom was diagnosed and had the surgery. She was in no shape for surgery, ended up with toxic shock, and lived in the Marin General. John and I lived basically there around the clock. This will tell you the time. We took kind of over a waiting room and not at night. And people got used to us, kind of, we had our tape deck, cigarettes, everything else. You smoked anywhere in those
days. This is when she was dying?
Yeah,
but I thought
she didn't die.
First.
She didn't
all
die
all before.
This,
okay.
Yeah, they thought she was going to die, but she lived. And I think a big part of that was John telling her mom, "If you make it home, I will tape every single Hawaii 5-0 for you there is. I promise. And
she
damned if I don't have those still. All in his amazing lettering, he did. He stuck. Anyway." Not that she didn't love us all, but John was a sick kid. He got special attention. Not that he enjoyed it or thrived on it or asked for it, because he was a very humble man. I wonder if you should borrow the DVD I produced about this family.
I was
it may help
to.
You
yeah.
with all this stuff. And you'd certainly know a lot more in a more organized way of my...
Could the library get a copy of that? Or is that... Do you
no,
know?
It could, but I got a million of them.
Oh, you got one that we can just have.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's fantastic.
It would be awesome if the library could... have that in file with your history.
I'd love it. You know, at one point that came up, and I bet you people go to look for it. Anyway, this was a 5-6 year project. This was a big part of my life. And prior to 3 years ago, this was released 3 years ago.
When you say released, where was it released?
It was released anything is. It wasn't.
Yeah.
But wasn't like taken by a big distribution company or anything. So it sells on John's website.
Oh, it does.
It sells at Too Neat. It sells at Mildine Music. It sells by order. But this was not my creation, but I was a big part of I was the producer of this. And so I'm pretty proud of it.
That's
because
fantastic.
I wanted John picture. This is about John, but there's a lot of family history,
sure.
especially in the first DVD.
Okay.
Which are all marked. You'll know which one. If you don't want to see John performing live, that's disc 3. If you want to hear only interviews of people talking about John and the family, that's disc 2. Anyway, enjoy. It's my
Thank
pleasure.
You.
That
so
is
much.
So amazing.
Yeah, and I had some of the most wonderful people do dedicate their time to this. This was not a profit and venture. It did end up, it did take a year to sell enough to make up what I invested.
Wow, but
did?
So
it
that's
has
amazing.
Actually made a few hundred dollars for each person.
Wow, that's a
But
testament.
That wasn't the intention, and certainly not what 5-6 years of hard work on everybody's part it will ever recoup. But everybody loved John. People involved, Randy Tootin was our, Randy Chavez was the, is the artist who did the Photoshop work on the colorization and so on. Randy Tootin is a famous poster artist who did the lettering and the font that runs throughout. And so I had real pros. Jesse Block is the director and videographer of it.
Wow.
But these were all fans originally of John's. I didn't seek them. They sought me.
Wow.
And I didn't really know what I was in for.
Of course not. It's a lot of work.
A lot of work. But it's something that I have. Basically, if those were 5 years of my life, we can say in an interview, she dedicated to this.
Well, before we wrap up, I know it's time, but is there something, particularly since the time that you did that video, and something maybe in anticipation of this interview that you were thinking you wanted to say or you wished you'd said in that DVD, something that maybe...
Oh, that's an interesting question.
You know what? Let me just say...
You know, you can come
back.
You can
come back. You know what? You want to turn that off?
Yeah, sure.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I said what I think I expected you to say, okay, kind of chronologically, and I was going to go kind of decade to decade, which I kind of did,
yeah,
but we kind of went back and forth. But I didn't get to say, the moment I'll never forget is going to that first Avalon Ballroom night concert. And seeing John on a big stage for the first time, that was a big stage for them. They didn't have, you know, the big, huge arenas, you know, like they do now when the music business became a real money maker.
Right.
And I'll never forget seeing John. That's when I said you got it, because I say it in this at the very beginning in the intro, but that's how I still feel. It was a magical moment seeing John, handsome, with his amp that I'd only seen, you know, at a rehearsal hall or here. I'd never really heard him at volume. I'd never heard the band, and it was a really amazing moment to see my brother like being looked upon like a superstar.
Wow.
You know, and he looked like a superstar even to me as a sister.
Yeah.
And it was a moment I still have etched in my mind. That's all.
Where did the band practice?
They practiced at a woman's home in San Francisco for the first couple of years. Then they had the house, and you remember there used to be a house, a little stucco house on the knoll in Corte Madera, which they've leveled now.
There was
a little white stucco house sitting up. If you going north... On 101, before the exit, first exit, look to your right, which is now flat. There used to be a knoll. No, before Corte Madera exit.
Okay,
there's all these new houses along the freeway.
Yeah, there used to be just grass and marsh and a knoll, and this house sat on that knoll. That's what their rehearsal hall was for years.
Wow.
And there's stories of that in here, too. I think this first disc will be very helpful anybody.
I would just love...
But it is long. Don't think...
Hey,
you have to take it in sections.
Sounds great.
Because, you know...
And if, you know, if by any chance, after a little bit of time, and you've looked at this, and I've been able to read that...
Yeah, and
watch that.
I think I would do better if you kind of just had your questions to ask me, than me think, oh, yeah, I got to talk about that, because
really,
I'll always assume you don't want to hear that.
Oh, I know you do, but you just don't understand how... I mean, the story, everyone's story...
I guess.
It's just the best,
yeah.
And I would love for you to think about whether it'd be okay if we took a picture of the wall with the posters.
Everybody does.
And maybe took a picture of
this,
it would be great.
Sure.
Really appreciate
honored.
It.
Thank you.
Well, thank you.
I'm glad you came, actually. It was
really
input.
Nice.
Yeah.
Really nice that we were all three here together.
Yeah.
So thank you so much.
And it helped me not feeling like I'm directing in only one spot. So
Great.
And I got to sit on where I am every day, for the rest of the day today.
Your piano bench.
Well, that's my chair. This is my...
Oh, they sit there and you sit in this chair. Oh, well, then we probably should get a picture of that chair.
No.
Okay,
maybe,
thank you.
Maybe next time we could talk about some of your students. I'm sure you've had some memorable students over the years.
Yeah.